November 24th, 2013, we began our study in the Gospel of Luke. Today, August 7th, 2016, we come to an end, the last section that we're going to look at. Luke 24, verse 50 to 53. And he led them out as far as to Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your blessings on our life. Thank you for the privilege that you've given us this morning to come and to gather here to worship and glorify you. Thank you for those who you have brought this way. We ask your blessings on those who are away from us, who are on vacation, traveling. We pray your safety for them, your blessings upon them. And God, we pray that they may even be watching. And God, we pray that the message today would be a blessing to them as well. God, I pray that through your word that you would instruct us, and God, that you would convict us, and God, that you would convince those that are lost, their need of a Savior, convince them of their sinfulness and the beauty of Christ on the cross dying in their place. I pray, God, that you would convert them and save them today before it's too late. And God, I pray that each one of us would fall deeper in love with you today because we have seen you in your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Question for you this morning. How is it that you would like to be remembered when you depart this world? When you're gone, how would you like those who are closest to you to remember you? How would the disciples remember Jesus? Would they remember him as a good friend, a great teacher? Or would they remember him as suffering and bleeding and dying on the cross? Would they remember his lifeless body being wrapped and buried by Joseph and Nicodemus? I think they were hiding behind the locked door because they were thinking of that very thing. Would they remember him as the one who was risen from the grave in a glorious resurrection body? He appeared to them, proving his resurrection. It seems that none of those things were how Jesus wanted his disciples to view him as he departed. So we have the account here in Luke of the ascension of Christ. Verse 50 to 53, that detail for us the return of Christ back to heaven and to the Father. And I guess of all the works of Christ, if we took all of the works that Christ did, the ascension would be the work that we least consider. But it seems to be what Jesus wants us to remember. The idea of the ascension is to move from a lower position to a higher one. Here, Jesus is moving to the highest position. He has been lowly on this earth, but he is moving to glory in heaven at the right hand of the Father. So the view that Christ wants us to see is of his kingship, of his rulership. He has ascended back to the throne. He ascended back to the place of absolute authority. He has ascended back to his rightful position. He has gone from humility to glory. Jesus Christ is King of the kingdom of God. Let me share with you this morning three results of remembering Jesus as the ascended King. Number one, the ascension is a picture of the completion of Christ's earthly work for His people. The ascension is a picture of the completion of the earthly work of Christ for His people. Have you ever wondered why Jesus did not immediately go to heaven once He was resurrected? Why did Jesus remain here on earth another 40 days after His resurrection? Well, I have searched and I have studied and I have come up with a theologically complicated answer to that question. And the answer is, He was not done. There were things He needed to do. His ascension back to glory means He's done. He's finished with His earthly work. Notice two things that we remember that He did. Number one, the accomplishment that He made for them. His accomplishment for them. Now the Bible says that Jesus led them to the very place that His final hours began, the Mount of Olives. This is where Judas had kissed Him. This is where they came to apprehend Him. This is where they took Him into custody, where they took Him to the trials, and where they eventually took Him to the cross and crucified Him. Of course, we know that everything that is required for salvation to those who believe has been completed by Jesus Christ on the cross. Listen, Christ left nothing to be done. Jesus had lived as a man without sin, securing for His people their perfect righteousness. He suffered, He bled, He died as the substitutionary sacrifice for the sins of His people. He took the awful wrath of God, endured the separation from God the Father, and died their death so that we who believe can have life and have it more abundantly. On the third day, He arose, proving that yes, He indeed had conquered death and all the powers of darkness, and the sacrifice for our sins and the atonement was accepted. We can be saved by the offering provided for us by the great high priest. The saving work for those who will believe is finished, it's done. And the ascension once again tells us of its completion. But let me offer this. Not only do we know His accomplishment for them in the securing of their salvation, but we know that in those 40 days, He made appearances to them. He made appearances to them. The 40 days after His resurrection shows us how loving, how caring, how compassionate Christ really is. Why not just ascend after the resurrection? Why not just go back to heaven after the resurrection? Because there were some things He needed to do. Thomas, you remember Thomas? Thomas needed his doubts settled. You remember that Thomas, upon receiving word that Jesus was indeed alive, resurrected, he said he would not believe until he could what? He could touch the wounds in the hands and the feet of Christ. So Jesus, what does He do? He appears to the disciples and Thomas and tells Thomas, put your fingers in the holes of My hands and put your hand in the hole in My side where the sword has left its mark. And Thomas said, My Lord and My God. Yes, when Jesus came to Thomas, He needed his doubts settled, and they were. Then Peter, remember Peter? Peter needed his ministry restored. Peter had failed Jesus in the worst kind of way. He denied that he ever knew Christ. Peter repented. But surely Peter felt disqualified to be a disciple of Christ, much less an apostle. Peter, no doubt, felt that he had blown it. But when Jesus arose, he appeared to Peter, making sure that Peter knew that those denials that he had made were forgiven by the blood that he shed on the cross of Calvary. And that Peter was not finished, but Peter was recommissioned to feed the sheep of God. Peter needed restored, and Jesus restored him. He met with his fearful disciples to encourage them that their faith was not in vain, that their hopes were not killed on that Friday. But yes, hope was still alive in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He opened their understanding to Scripture so that they could understand the Old Testament being about Jesus Christ and His work for His people. He told them that He would send them a comforter when He departed, and they would be better off than if He did not leave. How can that be true? Because instead of Jesus being with them and beside them, now Jesus would be in them. He would be in them with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Jesus led His disciples to the Mount of Olives near Bethany so that they could see His ascension, so that they could be reminded that the work of Christ on earth was finished. He had completed the work of redemption, and He had lovingly encouraged and helped them through their unbelief, their fears, and their failures. How many are glad we have a King who sits on a throne? He has finished the work of salvation for us. And He comforts, He strengthens, He helps those who need it. The ascension is the picture of the completion of the earthly work of Christ for His people. Number two, the ascension is a parting celebration of His work with His people. Luke says, "And He lifted up His hands and bless them." One final time, Jesus and His disciples will celebrate His presence with them and His work for them. One last moment of fellowship with each other. And the one who came to minister to and not be ministered unto once again ministers to His disciples. He lifts His hand. I thought He could lift His hand in anger. Amen? But He didn't lift His hand in anger. He lifted His hand in grace. And what does He do? He blesses His disciples. Isn't it like Jesus to always be thinking of His disciples? Even though He was leaving, He was still blessing. Notice the source of all of our blessings. Here is a reminder for His disciples that all spiritual blessings are theirs in Jesus Christ. God blesses us in and through Jesus. So Christ is the blesser and also the blessing. Once again, Jesus serves His people. He blesses them, not thinking of Himself, not preoccupied with the joy of returning to the Father, but desiring to be the instrument of God that brings the blessings to us, His people. The final earthly act of Jesus was to bless His disciples. Can I add that in our celebration of Jesus today, and as we celebrate Jesus and His salvational achievements that He has accomplished for us on the cross, there will always be blessings for us in Christ. When we fellowship with Him, we are always blessed with Him and by Him. The source of our blessings is Jesus. Then the substance of blessing. All spiritual blessings, the Bible says, are ours by and through Christ Jesus. The Bible says every promise of God is yes in Christ. Every good thing comes to us from where? from above through Jesus Christ. Every earthly blessing, every eternal blessing is ours in Christ. Every temporal blessing and every permanent blessing is ours in Christ. Every acknowledged blessing, every taken for granted blessing comes to us from Christ. Listen, His hand has been lifted toward us to bless us for a long, long time. Amen? We are the recipients of millions upon millions of blessings of God through Christ Jesus. Christ, our Lord and Savior, we are blessed beyond measure. And for all eternity, as the ages roll, His hand of blessing will be raised for us in Christ Jesus. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings and see what God in Christ Jesus has done. Jesus leads them and then He lifts His hands of blessing to them. Finally, the ascension provides confidence of His work in His people. The ascension pictures the completion of work for His people. The ascension is a parting celebration of His work with His people, and here is the ascension providing confidence of His work in His people. Now, you know where the disciples were, right? Right before He shows up, they're locked up in hiding, scared to death that they're going to be the next put to death. Their knees are knocking, they're scared, they're doubting, they're denying, they're discouraged. But they are renewed by His presence, and they are renewed in their confidence by His ascension. Because He is Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Their confidence is renewed in His Lordship and in His deity. And as He blesses them, He ascends, He parts, He leaves them. He leads them to Bethany, He lifts His hand, then He leaves. Well, where did He go? He went to heaven. Right? He went to be where God was. Right? It's in heaven. He went to be the right-hand man of the Father. What's He doing? Well, He's pleading our case. We have that perfect plea in heaven against all the accusations of the enemy against us. He is pleading our case and He is preparing a place so that we can be with Him forever. What is He going to do? Well, He's coming back. And He's going to receive us to Himself so that where He is, we may be also. Where is He? He's in heaven with God the Father. What's He doing? He's pleading our case and preparing our place. What's He going to do? He's going to come back and get us and take us to that place. We know what He's doing. What should we be doing? While we're waiting, while He's preparing, while He's pleading, what should we be doing? Well, I think we should be doing what these disciples were doing, right? Number one. They were jubilant in their worship of Him. Notice what it says. And it came to pass while He blessed them, He was parted from them and carried up into heaven, and they worshiped Him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. That's what they did, right? In His absence, in His leaving them, what did they do? They worshiped Him. It was jubilant worship of Christ. Now you understand that only God is to be worshipped. Right? And you understand that they're worshiping Christ, which means they have confidence that He is God. Why? Because He has ascended to the Father. The worship of anything else other than God is idolatry. Here they worship Jesus because He is God. He is worthy of their praise. He is worthy of their adoration. They sing to Him. They pray to Him. They preach of Him. Their confidence is seen in Him as they worship Him. When we come together, we are not to worship ourselves. That's not what we do. When we come together, what do? It's all about Him. It's all about Christ. It's all about Jesus, who is what He is, and He is what He said He is, and He has done what He said He did, and He continues to do that for us, and He will do for us in the future. What do? We worship Him. It's not about us. It's about Christ. What should we be involved in while we are waiting for Christ to come back, while He pleads our case and prepares our place? What should we be doing? We should be worshiping Him. Then, not only were they jubilant in their worship of Him, but they were joyous in their obedience to Him. Now, what had Jesus told them to do? Do you remember? Jesus had told them to go back to Jerusalem and there to wait for the Holy Spirit to come. You remember? So what do they do? Well, Luke tells us here that they worshiped Him and did what? Return to Jerusalem with what? Great joy. And were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. They were obedient to Him. They were continually gathering together for the purpose of praising and blessing Him. They were waiting on the Spirit to come in Jerusalem. What should we be doing? We should be worshiping. We should be obeying. And when we gather together, we should not center upon ourselves, but we should be centering on Him. It should be a time of praising and blessing Jesus. And our gatherings are to be continual. Listen, is not our lack of worship and our lack of obedience and our infrequent gathering with God's people, are those not signs of a lack of confidence in Jesus being who He said He was and doing what He said He did? This is what we do while we confidently wait on His return. How many of you are confident that He's coming back? Raise up your hand. I'm confident that He's coming back. How many are confident He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords? That He's coming back to receive us to Himself? How many think He may come back today? What should we be doing? Worshiping, praising, blessing, obeying. That's what the disciples did. That's what we should be doing. And all God's people say to almost 3 years of study in Luke's gospel what Luke's final word in his gospel is. Amen. Amen. All that Christ has done, He has done for us. Every hope that we have is in Christ. Our future rests in Jesus. What are we doing? Not worshiping, not gathering, not being obedient, not praising. That's what we should be doing. Amen? May God help us, and may Luke's gospel move us toward that direction. Would you stand with me?